Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
And welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, the Ebola outbreak in West Africa has now claimed more than 300 lives. We talk to the Director for Disease Prevention and Control for the World Health Organization in Brazzaville.
We need to begin by mobilizing our community in understanding that Ebola is a serious problem, but also in letting them understand ways and means in which Ebola can be prevented.
And Israel reassesses Africa as a place to do business. Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman is in Kenya.
I came with a big business delegation with 50 Israeli biggest companies. We will create a real new framework for our business communities.
And later in the programme, there's more drama for the Crossroads generation, as Mercy has a narrow escape at an abortion clinic.
Top story.
The death toll from an outbreak of Ebola in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone has risen to 337 since February, according to figures released by the World Health Organization, the WHO. Dr. Francis Kosolo is the Director for Disease Prevention and Control at the WHO's regional office in Brazzaville, Congo. When I asked him about the significance of this death toll, he explained first that the impact and spread of the Ebola virus varies from one country to the other.
What we've seen over the last 2 weeks, specifically for Guinea, is an acceleration in the transmission. But for Sierra Leone, it is a new phenomenon that they've had an introduction of Ebola into the country. And for Liberia, it is second reinfection of Ebola after they had interrupted Ebola during the first outbreak. So it's a mixture of things. For Guinea, it is really a rising numbers. But whereas for Sierra Leone and Liberia, it's more or less the new epidemics that have occurred.
What should be the chief priority for governments in West Africa if they are to contain this epidemic?
I think the first thing is for the involvement of the communities in understanding the ways in which Ebola is transmitted. I think the gap that we are finding is that at the central level, there is great appreciation of the problem of Ebola. But in the community level and mostly in the rural areas, there is a gap in the appreciation that Ebola is a serious illness. So I think we need to begin by mobilizing our communities in understanding that Ebola is a serious problem, but also in letting them understand ways and means in which Ebola can be prevented. For instance, the simple hand washing, but also changing of cultural behaviors that entail close contact with the sick or the dead.
There is no vaccine and no known cure for Ebola. Is that likely to change in the foreseeable future?
Well, work continues on understanding Ebola as a disease, but also on developing possible treatment and vaccination modalities. But these indeed will take some time. I don't think it's something that will wake up one day and find in the next few years. It will take some time to get a definite treatment, cure or vaccine. Having said that, I think the supportive care that is being given to those that have Ebola seems, especially if they present to the health facility early enough, improving the outlook of those infected with Ebola. So the basic rehydration, provision of fluids, are mitigating especially the mortality due to Ebola in the countries that are currently affected.
Dr. Francis Kosolo, Director for Disease Prevention and Control at the WHO's regional office in Brazzaville, Congo. In Liberia, the death toll since the start of this latest outbreak is 24. One of those deaths was that of a health worker in the densely populated suburb of New Crew Town on the outskirts of Monrovia. From the Liberian capital, Julius Kanuba reports.
The death of the health worker in Monrovia increased public concerns about the Ebola virus following its outbreak in Liberia. The virus was first confirmed in Liberia in late March. Since then, Liberian health authorities were positive that it had been contained. However, all this positive news turned sad when a fresh outbreak of the virus was confirmed in the capital.
My name is Barbara Hinna. This is not something that has happened here before. There's a certain level of fear, you know, and the panic of what do you do once it hits.
Similar level of fear was expressed by John Rogers, who said the fright among the population is not just tied to the capital, but across Liberia. Liberian health authorities, along with international partners, including the World Health Organization and the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, have been working to create awareness about the virus. Dr. Nesta Undayemeji, WHO country representative to Liberia, cautioned a team of community residents who were being trained to sensitize communities about the Ebola virus.
Traditional practices and funeral rites. We know that in our traditions, in our practices, we need to bury our dear ones. You don't like your dear ones being buried by somebody else. But in this context of Ebola, these bodies have to be buried in a supervised way by people who are trained.
Banamya Zulia is Liberia's Deputy Minister of Health for Planning, Research and Development. She described as grave the outbreak of the Ebola virus into the capital from the rural areas.
It is serious. We are not taking it lightly. A reason being that for the first time we are having this epidemic in highly populated and congested areas in our capital city.
It remains to be seen whether the concerted efforts by locals, authorities and development partners to contain the spread of the virus in Liberia will yield positive results.
Julius Kanuba in Monrovia. You're listening to Africa Link, coming to you from Deutsche Welle in Bonn, Germany.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Israel is reassessing Africa as a place to do business. Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman is on a 10-day, five-nation tour of the continent, which has taken him to Rwanda, Ivory Coast, Ghana and Ethiopia. He is now in Kenya. The desire to deepen economic ties is being accompanied by shared concerns over security, as James Shimanyula reports from Nairobi.
Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman is in the Kenyan capital Nairobi for a three-day visit. Lieberman is leading a 50-member business delegation to Kenya. During a press briefing in Nairobi at the official residence of President Uhuru Kenyatta, Lieberman reflected on the major challenge facing the African continent, especially in East and West Africa.
The biggest challenge is radicalism and extremism, and we are facing one network, one axis of evil of all our radical groups in Middle East, in East Africa, and West Africa. We will do all our efforts as soon as possible, put on the blacklist all those terrorist organizations like Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram.
Lieberman was, however, quick to state the main purpose of his visit to Kenya.
I came with a big business delegation with 50 Israeli biggest companies to promote our economic ties. We will create a real new framework for our business communities. We are trying to deliberate from the beginning our agreements regarding protection of investments and double taxation.
President Uhuru Kenyatta described Israel as a true friend who has always stood by Kenya. He praised the Israeli government for having confidence in Kenya as the regional hub for investment in East Africa. Kenyatta added that terror groups have become technologically savvy and they as well network and share information to increase their attacks. Kenya's Foreign Affairs Minister Amina Mohamed underscored the importance of Kenya's relationship with Israel.
We've signed two agreements and two others between the Red Crosses of the two countries. And then he will meet with the Cabinet Secretary for Defense so that they can discuss about our security cooperation. He'll also be meeting with the Ministry of Health and the opening facility at Kenyatta Hospital. After that, we will also be with him at the airport where he's going to launch direct flight between Kenya and Israel. All of us are going to work very, very closely together to ensure that the relationship between Israel and Kenya and Israel and Africa are actually strengthened.
That report was compiled by James Shimanyula in Nairobi. In a big setback for the African teams at the FIFA World Cup, Cameroon, one of the continent's traditional football-playing nations, has been defeated by Croatia 4-0. Cameroon was also beaten 1-0 by Mexico in their opening game. The African team's 66-year-old German coach, Volker Finker, said he would not be resigning, but admitted the decision could be made for him. This report by Jens Krepala has been adapted for Africa Link by Victoria Engels.
The defeat leaves Cameroon's indomitable Lions without hope to go through to the knockout phase. At first, it had been an encounter at eye level. Cameroon's Benjamin Mukanjo made two threatening appearances in front of the Croatian goal during the first 10 minutes, but without success. Croatia scored their first goal in the 11th minute by Orlic, but the point of no return was reached in the 40th minute when Cameroon's midfielder Alex Song raced after Croatia's Mandzukic and dug his elbow right into Mandzukic's back, who was in full action of running a counter-attack. The referee, in a perfect position to witness it all, did not hesitate to whip out the red card for Song. Volker Finke, Cameroon's German coach, explained what this rash behaviour consequently meant for his team.
Well, I don't think we were the weaker team as long as we were playing 11 against 11. The match was an open game until that precise moment. Then, with only 10 players, it is not easy in these conditions.
3 minutes into second half, Perisic scored Croatia's second goal, happily accepting the opportunity to snatch the ball after a poor goal kick by Cameroon's keeper Charles Itanje, who later faced the ungrateful task of collecting the ball from his own net after goals 3 and 4 scored by Mandzukic. Niko Kovac, Croatia's coach, even believed,
"We certainly could have won with an even higher score."
But he was on the same page with Finke on analysing how meaningful that red card had been.
The red card certainly helped us. With this kind of climate here in Manaus, it turns very difficult for the team that has fallen behind and is additionally one player short.
In their last match at this year's World Cup, Cameroon will play host Brazil. If they want to take away at least a few points from the tournament, they will have to leave any interior discord behind them. In a symptomatic scene at the end of this past game, however, Cameroon's Asue Koto and Mukanjo clashed in a moment of quarrel. It is highly questionable if the Lions are able to pull it together by Monday and be, for once, an indomitable opponent.
That report was written by Jens Krepala.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good to have you back for a new episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for a way. Crossroads Generation, our future stands today.
Let's recap on what's happened so far. The twin brothers Kadu and Banda came back home from the neighboring country of Laboria, where they were forced to work in the mines. The two boys are still struggling with their traumatic memories, while their big sister Mercy is also in trouble. Her mother just found out that she's pregnant.
Just tell me, child. This is the third time I've seen you vomiting in the morning. I know the signs.
I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean this to happen.
Mercy's classmate Dan is the father of Mercy's unborn child. He has a very clear idea of how to solve the problem. He thinks Mercy should have an abortion. That's also what Mercy's friend Trudy has been saying. But Trudy has reasons of her own for offering this advice.
All I'm asking for is a little money, Dr. Zito. I'm sorry, Trudy, but rules are rules. We agreed I'd pay you if you bring me girls who need help getting an abortion. No girls, no money.
Dr. Zito, please.
Will Mercy follow Dana and Trudy's advice? Let's join as she talks to her mother in today's episode called Is It the Right Decision?
Mercy, for the last time, don't do anything to hurt that baby. I'm telling you as your mother.
Mom, I told you I don't want to do it, but I have to. I want to continue with my education. Have you ever seen a girl going to school with a baby on her back?
Mercy, there'll be a way around this. I don't think the principal will kick you out. She has a soft spot for you.
You know that's not possible. As soon as Principal Juliet finds out I'm pregnant, she'll send me away. And I'm not ready to be a mother.
But
not
you
yet.
Felt ready to sleep with that boy, Dan, didn't you? Huh? Then face the consequences. You're keeping that child and that is final.
What do you want from me? What does everyone want from me? Why won't you all just leave me alone?
Mercy, come back here. I hope I've made myself clear.
Mercy, there you are. You sounded really worried on the phone.
Oh, Trudy, I'm so glad you're helping me. I'm freaking out and my mom just doesn't understand.
It's good you finally come to your senses and followed my advice. Let's go in. Dr. Zito is already waiting for us.
Wait, there's someone inside.
You promised nothing would happen to her. Have you no shame? You killed my daughter. How can you even live with yourself?
I just did my job, that's all.
Shame on you. I curse you, Dr. Zito. I curse you. You killed my daughter.
Hello, ladies. Please step into my office.
Trudy, I'm scared. Did you hear what that lady said?
Mercy, don't be ridiculous. Come on.
Hello, Mercy. I see you finally made a decision.
I told you she would.
Ah, right then. Shall we get on with it? If you'll just get up onto the operating table. Here, let me help you.
No, I've changed my mind. I don't want to do it.
Mercy?
Mercy,
wait. I wonder where Mercy went after our discussion this morning. Kadu, give me that towel. Kadu? Oh, he's fallen asleep. I'll let him take a nap.
Only 50 cents. Groundnuts.
We are selling groundnuts 50 cents only.
You're selling groundnuts.
50 cents only.
We're selling groundnuts. Hello, sir. Please, buy some groundnuts. Only 50 cents.
Give me 3 packets.
That's 150.
Hey, you! Move it!
Hey, Kadu! He's driving away! Hey, you! Give us our money!
After him! After him! Run! Banda, run! Banda! Run, Banda! Banda, run!
Banda, run!
Hey, Kadu, wake up. You're dreaming. Why are you telling your brother to run?
I dreamt about the man again.
What man?
The one who stole our groundnuts.
You never told me about him before. What happened?
When Banda and I escaped from the mines, we came to the city and we had no food.
Oh my God.
We saw other kids like us who lived on the streets. Mm. They sold groundnuts. So we asked them if they could give us work.
Did they?
No. But they introduced us to Boy. Mm-hmm. Boy was a bigger boy. He gave us a big bowl of groundnuts. But if we didn't bring him all money, he will beat you. And that's why we ran away when the man in the car drove away without paying us.
Oh my God, Kadu. I'm so sorry. You and Banda had to go through all this. Try not to worry. You are safe now, remember?
Can I go out and play with Banda?
I don't want to sleep and see all pictures again.
Of course, my son, of course.
You're going. You almost knocked me over.
I'm sorry. I didn't see you.
Hey, I saw you and your friend at that killer's place.
Killer? What killer?
At his so-called clinic just now.
You mean Dr. Zito?
That man is no doctor.
I don't understand.
My daughter was only 17 when she discovered she was pregnant. She wanted to keep the baby, but I made her go to that quack.
Oh?
He promised he would help her. And that was the last I saw of my daughter. I killed my own daughter.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. What happened?
She bled to death. After the operation, I should have known. People warned me not to take her to this man. But I was more worried about what society would think than I was about my own daughter's life.
I don't know what to say. All I can tell you is that I think you may have saved my life.
What do you mean?
I heard you arguing with a doctor. I didn't know what you were talking about. But when I heard you accuse him of killing your daughter, I was afraid. I couldn't go through with it.
You're pregnant too?
Yes.
Let me tell you, girl. Walking away from that clinic was the best thing you've ever done.
I don't know. I'm so confused.
No, come. Let's sit on this bench here and talk. Listen to me. Whether you decide to have an abortion or not, that's not my business. It's never an easy decision for any woman. But if you do decide to go through with it, it has to be done professionally, by a qualified doctor. Unfortunately, there are many African countries that don't allow abortion at all, like ours. And even in countries where abortion is legal, not all women have access to professional treatment. That makes it very difficult for them. And people like Zito here just see it as a chance to make money.
I've heard people saying abortion is a sin.
I know. A lot of people do think that. But what if a woman is raped? What if the mother's health is at risk, or even her life? In circumstances like that, many countries around the world will allow her to have an abortion.
How do you know all this?
Unfortunately, I learned about it all too late. Let me tell you what happened to my daughter.
We'll leave Mercy and the Morning Mother to talk as we end this episode of Crossroads Generation. What do you think of Mercy's decision? She's made up her mind to keep Dan's baby. But far away in Laboria, another girl is dreaming about starting a family one day with the very same boy. Check out Anita's latest video diary on our webpage, dw.de/LBE, and share your opinions on our Facebook page. Take care, and don't forget to tune in next time.
And before we leave you here on Africa Link, a reminder of our main stories. The death toll from an outbreak of Ebola in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone has risen to 337 since February, according to figures released by the World Health Organization. We've also been hearing about a visit to Kenya by the Foreign Minister of Israel and Cameroon's defeat by Croatia in the FIFA World Cup. We welcome your comments on this programme. Please send a text message to country code 49 160 957 59510 or an email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. We're back again at the same time tomorrow. From me, Mark Caldwell. Bye now.